Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Rebel Room Postgame Edition. Ryan Green, Ray Brewer here. UNLV defeats Southeastern Louisiana 92-56, a game that was close for about 10 minutes. UNLV pulled away before halftime, pulled away even further, and then all anyone wanted to talk about was three-pointers.
It was Ryan Green. I will tell you that guys on a fast break, you're thinking windmill dunk, off the backboard, all of you, pick your favorite move, and the whole crowd, all 10,000 plus, three, shoot the three.
Now, the reason being, UNLV, the fans mostly hold it very near and dear to their heart. It's one spot where UNLV is untouched in the record books and probably will be for a long time. They hold the record for the most consecutive games with a three-point shot made. They've made one in every single game they've played since the line was brought into college basketball before the 86-87 season. 773 entering tonight. Got to halftime, and the Rebels didn't have one. They've had some scares in that stretch, especially in recent years. They hit one with Chase Stanback hit one with about 7.5 minutes left tonight. The place went nuts. It was the loudest the MAC had been since last season, probably. But the thing that was kind of overlooked at the moment was that when he hit that, they had a 25-point lead that was built without three-pointers. And we're fast-forwarding from a year ago where a lot of the times they lived and died by the three.
They lived and died by the three. This year, the makeup of the team, they don't have that true three-point threat. Obviously, Kendall Wallace gets hurt with the knee injury. Matt Shaw's out. Dismissed from the team. So the makeup of the team has changed a little bit, but they didn't really need the three-point shot today. They were so close to the basket. It seemed like every basket they scored was on the fast break, uncontested. 19-29, Ryan, in the second half, 65%. For the game, 62%. So the three really didn't come into play there. I know the fans, want to put their arms around that three-point streak. But when they're playing good basketball, I think it's a give and take.
Well, and here's the thing. We're in the second game of the season against an opponent they should be dominating. How many more times this year is that streak going to be in jeopardy? If we're only in game two and they're having a struggle to hit a three. Not even struggle because they hadn't attempted many.
Yeah, I mean, 1 of 8 for the game. And
the one that Stanback hit was the last one they tried.
Exactly. Now, they probably try a lot more if we get under 4 minutes. But then you've got Tyler Norman out
and
there.
Todd Haney and Michael Martinez out there chucking. Yeah.
What a great way for a legacy for a walk-on who doesn't travel to keep his streak going. But it made for some excitement in an otherwise pretty non-exciting game.
Yeah, Southeastern Louisiana, look, this is a better team than what they faced last week in UC Riverside, a team with a lot of veterans, won 19 games last year. They kept themselves alive by the three early on. 18 of their first 21 points were off of 6 three-pointers. The three by Brandon Fortenberry, three by Trent Hutchin, who in their first game of the year, I believe, hit 5 in a stretch of about 3.5 minutes. But, once that novelty ran out for Southeastern Louisiana and they lost Jason Marks, excuse me. That was kind of it.
We're Marks, having a coughing contest, you and I both here.
Marks was out of the game about 10 minutes in after the flagrant foul where he elbowed Chase Stanback in the neck under the basket during a Derek Jasper shot. And, it's not like that was a spark for the team, but things definitely changed after that.
Things definitely changed. I think it was a minor wake-up call. We knew UNLV had eventually, it would extend its lead to 30 points or to wherever it would end up. I think Southeastern Louisiana stayed close probably because they were making those threes. Those threes don't fall. UNLV cruises along. First 10 minutes, I think they came out probably a little too sluggish, maybe looking ahead to the Wisconsin game on Saturday. Just knowing who they were playing. Whatever the case, they got through it. Maybe the flagrant foul sparked them a little bit. Ultimately, nothing. We're looking at the stat sheet. Nothing really stands out. UNLV's highest assist total was 4. I thought Bryce Masamba played a great game, Ryan. You know,
yeah, he absolutely did.
Quantrell gets in foul trouble. I've liked Bryce since day one, and I know some people have been down on him. I think this kid gives so much energy and enthusiasm and has this smile that is so contagious. Now, that doesn't mean you're a good basketball player.
So you like the intangibles.
Four assists tonight, 5 boards, 12 points. I like the intangibles. I think he brings a lot, and that's what you want. If your backup 6'10 center could come in and do that for you, more power to you. Quantrell fouls out, only plays 8 minutes, bothered with fouls all night. It shows that, you know, this team has you know, some bodies to throw around, whereas last year if this happens, or if your big gets four fouls or five fouls or whatever it may be.
You're living and dying by the three.
Yeah, you're living and dying. You can't do that this year. Different makeup, different team. So that, I think, was one thing that kind of stood out for me. And go ahead.
Well, no, Bryce, you know, it was very interesting, too. You know, the thing that's kind of just almost frustrating about him at times is that he comes and goes. Because he'll have a game like this, and then who knows, on Saturday he'll have 6-2 in 20 minutes and you'll hardly notice him. He's got to develop that consistency to have games like tonight, not necessarily 12-5, but maybe an 8-4 every night he's out there.
Or like how he played in the tournament, I think, against BYU last year.
Exactly. But I thought the most impressive part of his 12-5 was the 2 15-footers. And, you know, he said after the game that's something that they really asked him to expand in the offseason, and the shot didn't look uncomfortable. He hit two of them. They both looked good.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't no Joakim Noah out there spinning the ball. But I like the four assists, and, you know, I like the blocks and the steals. He was definitely aggressive. I think that flagrant foul on Stanback maybe got the aggressive juices flowing a little bit, the intensity definitely picked up, but I don't think it was a spark. But I like how UNLV is a little more physical this year,
mm-hmm.
and you know that's noticeable just to the naked eye. And I don't know where that physicalness comes from. Maybe it's, you know, adding Quantrell and Carlos, two big bodies, to, you know, more practice and to definitely the rotation in games, or maybe it's Bryce just being a year older and maybe a little stronger.
Well, I think some of it's being bred by just competition in practice. Because you've got more guys competing for spots this year and playing time than you did last year. And I think it's naturally just bringing it out of some guys.
I agree with you. The one thing I noticed from tonight is when we sat here on Friday after the Riverside game, boy, they look great on offense. I mean, every player had a role. And I told you, I said, dude, where's Trevon going to fit in?
Yeah.
I know he's the best player. Who's he going to take minutes from? Is he the sixth man? Where do you plug him in? After tonight, I'm like, he needs to be out there. He needs to have the ball in his hands. You know, he's a guy who could create his own shots. And I thought at times tonight there would be five guys on the court, and I'm like, wow, who's going to score out here?
Yeah.
You know, it was like Carlos and Justin Hawkins, and I'm just like, wow.
A lot of guys who feed off of, finishing plays that other guys start.
Yeah, they're role players, or they're guys who are on the court who fill a certain, you know, responsibility. And I think when Trevon comes in, he's going to be able to push the ball up the court. He's going to be hungry. He creates his own shots. He creates for others, and he takes the other team's best defender to free up those other guys.
Yeah, and Kruger confirmed after the game that he will in fact be back Saturday against Wisconsin in a reserve role. And, you know, look, Trey's going to play. He was their best player a year ago, still probably one of their top two players or three. But the reality of it is right now he's coming off a knee injury, knee surgery. It was minor, but, you know, still getting back to 100%. And, you know, Anthony Marshall is playing incredible basketball right now. He's probably been their best player in the first, if you include the exhibition games, the first four games.
Nothing better than when he blocks somebody from behind, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
It takes me back, to the New Mexico game last year. God, what a great play. But you're right, but I guarantee you at the end of the Wisconsin game, Trevon Wilson will be on the foul line for UNLV.
If it's a close game, that's what they're going to need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's the guy. He's the senior. He's the all-league guy. He's logged the minutes. He can make and break the season.
It's a pretty strong stance.
Well, I found, like, offensively, they were stagnant for a while. They put up 92 points. They shot 62%. They scored at will in the second half. I mean, they scored at will the last 30 minutes of the game. But still, there was like that, you know, I don't know. I don't know how to put my finger on it, but, you know, but he needs to be in that lineup. I don't know who. I think you go with maybe Oscar, Anthony, Trevon.
You're talking about the starting lineup.
See, yeah, you're right, man.
You can't start him right away. He has to take the job from Anthony. I'm sorry.
Is Anthony the guy you take out, or
I think he is, because I can't. I mean, you need the point guard out there, and you got Oscar. Uh-huh. Jasper plays a very key role. Obviously, 8 and 6 tonight. He's the rebounding threat from the perimeter. And, you know, who are you going to take out between Stanback and your center? But, look, I mean, Anthony's a good enough kid that, and he understands, you know, that starting job will be there for him next year. You know, and he's still going to play, you know, what did he play tonight? He still played 25, and Justin Hawkins played 26 off the bench. He's still going to get his minutes. I don't think the starting role means that much to him. I think maybe we're blowing that. That's the media blowing it out of proportion a little bit. And yeah. I'll totally fess up to that.
Listen, we like to blow things out of proportion.
That's what we do.
I mean, I sat in the car and I tried to figure out, driving back to the office for this podcast, who was going to be the guy on the short end of the stick.
That was your decision?
Well, I was.
That was your debate in the car? I was debating Wendy's or McDonald's.
No. I was listening to some rock and roll, you know, and I'm thinking, boy, Trevon's got to get in that lineup somehow. You know, could they play with six? Could they go 6-on-5?
Not thinking about your newborn baby. Not thinking about your wife. Thinking about how Trevon's going to get in the lineup.
Well, thinking about the newborn baby. I mean, listen, in 18 years, whose spot is he going to take, dude?
All right, let's move on. The game he's coming back for, obviously the biggest challenge to date for the Rebels. They'll be playing Wisconsin, who under Bo Ryan has, you know, long had a style of winning games defensively. Controlling the clock and scoring in the 50s. Their first two games this year, they're averaging about 90 points a game. Granted, not playing the most stellar of competition in the world, but you know, almost very much like the challenge that the UNLV football team faced against Wisconsin, a big team, and just a big team who's going to try to grind you down. You know, look, it's going to be a battle of styles. UNLV's playing at this torrid pace, this 40-minute up-and-down pace. Wisconsin's going to want to slow it down, especially on the road, try to neutralize the crowd. Let's make some predictions now, not necessarily on score, but which style is going to win out?
I would think that UNLV's up-and-down run-and-gun style will ultimately prevail, because it's you really got to be disciplined to the system to slow it down. I mean, it is so tempting to attack and to just, you know, pass the ball and to pick your spots is tough to do when you get a team that's really teasing you and tempting you to go the other way. Wisconsin, though, very disciplined. They play great defense. They're good every year in the Big Ten, and that's a tough league. I know people think
probably the best league in college basketball.
I mean, Michigan State, Ohio State, Purdue, good players, big physical. You're getting a tough crowd every night. This is going to be a tough test for UNLV. You know, it takes me back to 2007. You know, the round of 32 game, it was the same thing. You know, a big physical Wisconsin team against a UNLV team that liked to push it. I think the only difference, though, when UNLV upset them in the tournament is that they were just money from the outside, and this team is not going to make that three, so they're going to have to try to exchange twos with them, and I think that might be tough on the inside for UNLV. They might wear down a little bit.
Well, I think this is where we really see, you know, I kind of agree with you. I think the UNLV, if they can get off to a fast start, I think it's easier to suck an opponent into a faster pace than it is a slower one. But this is where we're really going to learn what UNLV's bigs are made of. You know, Carlos Lopez, Quintrell Thomas, Bryce Masamba have been, you know, given probably about a B+, A- performance against Riverside and Southeastern Louisiana. This team they're going to face this weekend is more like what they're going to see in Utah and San Diego State and BYU when they get into conference play. This is going to be a measuring stick. I think we know how good the perimeter is, and we've got a pretty good gauge on that. But kind of the grand unknown with this team right now is how good that front court really is. Are they that improved from last year? this is where we get the gauge on it.
Exactly. And, I mean, they're still a relatively young group. I mean, obviously, Lopez, the redshirt freshman. You got to remember, Quantrell, even though he played at Kansas, he had a year off. Mm-hmm. You know, and then and Bryce is Bryce. He's probably the third out of that group, even though I like him. So, you're right, it's going to be a big test. What do you think the number, the betting number, is going to be in the game?
Our buddy Adam Hill from Review Journal and Matt Eubanks from the Review Journal, we were talking about it after the game, and they both kind of said, and I think I agree, about UNLV minus three or so.
See, I thought...
I could see it.
I thought Wisconsin would be like a one or a two.
See, either way, it's going to be right around what it was for that Louisville game last year, which I believe was UNLV by a point or two. Because I think, you know, the odds makers are going to see these teams as pretty even.
Yeah,
and probably shade it towards the home team.
And when UNLV gets scoring at home and the crowd gets – the crowd was a non-factor tonight. I mean,
it until Chase's three.
Yeah, it was like they weren't even there. If UNLV can't give the crowd something to cheer about against Wisconsin and they're a non-factor, it's going to be in trouble. They're going to be in trouble. That's why playing at the MAC is a great opportunity for UNLV no matter who they play. I mean, I remember when I was a student there and UNLV beat Michigan when Michigan was great.
Yeah.
And UNLV was awful at the time. And it was just the crowd.
Yeah.
In college basketball, every day you'll see a favorite go into some gym and be like the small favorite. Like, what's going on? And they lose and the kids storm the court and take their shirts off and paint their chests.
I don't think we're going to see court storming this weekend.
I hope
not. But, you know, before getting out of here, let's hit really quick on Karam Mashour, the true freshman, making his official UNLV debut after deciding not to redshirt. The line looked good, 17 points, 5 of 6 from the floor, or 17 minutes, 10 points, 2 fouls, a rebound, 2 assists, a block, 2 steals. But the stats don't always tell everything. In the first five, he played 5 minutes in the first half, didn't really do anything. He actually didn't record a stat.
Didn't touch the ball.
Got blown up a couple times defensively. Played some more in the second half when the game got out of control. 10 points, including that awkward 10-foot jumper in the lane, but it fell to get the score. His scoring going, and then 4 easier buckets inside. Fast break dunk, missed a dunk, but you know, look, I think we can both agree right now. Maybe would have been better off red. Actually, no, probably would have been better off redshirting, but he's not. So this is what they have. How far do you think he has to go before really cracking that rotation? Because honestly, right now, I don't know if I see him playing a significant minute against Wisconsin, because I just don't know if you can throw him out there.
I agree with you about the defense. It was that obvious. I like what he brought to the floor in terms of high energy, pushed the ball up the court, was a change of pace because he takes out Jasper, who's kind of more patient and deliberate and a good passer. So I like that change of pace. Good spark off the bench, and that's what he is. He's a bench player, so he's going to have to do that change of pace thing all year. But the question is in these tight games, especially in the league, when you're going to these high-altitude arenas and you're going to need to use your bench a little bit, could you afford to put him in when he can't stop anybody?
Well, they've got time to work on that a little bit because we've seen players defensively make leaps and bounds in rapid periods of time. Mm-hmm. In the last few years. That's going to be the focus, though.
Yeah, I was impressed with the energy he brought and the way he was.
And he'll give you the effort.
He didn't have the mentality of a guy playing his first college game. You know, he was aggressive with the ball.
After a little while. Because he definitely looked like a guy playing his first college game in the first half.
Here's the deal. First half, I didn't even realize he was out there.
Yeah, he was invisible.
We'd have to check to see if he touched the ball. Okay? And you're right, he's a liability on defense. But I liked his energy, and I liked the change of pace he had. Now
he's got potential.
You're right.
And they'll find a use for him this year. There's no question.
You're just going to have to find spots.
Probably not on Saturday.
Yeah, find spots to put him in, build his confidence. You know, you're right. He's not your typical freshman. He's almost 20 years old and, you know, wants to play. And, you know, you don't want to be a 25-year-old senior.
Yep.
It's not cool.
It wasn't cool for you.
Listen, best 5.5 years of my life.
I thought you were a 27-year-old senior. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, for Ray Brewer, I'm Ryan Green. This has been the Rebel Room Postgame Edition. Tune back in Saturday because we'll be here breaking down UNLV Wisconsin when all is said and done. Until then, stay tuned to LasVegasSun.com/Rebels and take care.